Hi, Brad.
Hey, Ryan, how are you this morning?
Perfect. Happy, excited, and curious.
Wee! Uh-oh, what are you curious about?
Well, it's kind of funny. In this article, the article that you wrote is called "Where Your Focus Goes, There Your Energy Flows." Love the statement. The title is just such a great truth. I agree with you 100%. But what's funny about it is that you wrote a particular paragraph in the article, and then you say, "Oh, Ryan will probably call me about this particular paragraph." Sure enough, that's exactly what I'm calling you about.
Well, you better read it to me because I don't remember it.
Well,
How long ago did I send you that one?
oh, 6 months, I don't know. Last week, you've written so much. You've been prolific lately, so I have to pick and choose from all the articles that you've been writing. My gosh, you're just on a roll. You're on a roll.
Well, I hope some of them are good.
Well, they are, no question about it. So, the paragraph that I want to ask you about, and I'm going to read it to you so that you're on, so to speak. When we refuse to get the distinction, we mistake the rules. Oh, sorry, there's a preamble, so I apologize. I'm going to reverse. There is a difference, distinct difference between the personal subconscious and the universal subconscious, as I'm using both terms. And then you go on to expand that a bit. When we refuse to get the distinction, we mistake the rules adopted by the personal subconscious and think it is a code of rules dictated by God. This code of rules, we could call them ethics or doctrines, are nothing more and nothing less than those things we have buried deeply into the personal subconscious. We use these rules unconsciously to protect us from making mistakes for which the personal subconscious believes was the cause of some bad things which have happened to us in the past. So that's a pretty big mouthful, but the whole article tends to support that one particular statement. You talk a bit about 93% of the brain is being used by the subconscious and so on and so forth. Does this ring any bells for you?
Oh yeah. Now I understand. And okay. And the only reason I said you had called is because I knew I had written in a confusing way when I tried to reread it and have it make sense. It didn't even make sense to me, but I know what I'm saying. If
Okay.
you understand. Let's see, and what you'd like me to try to do is get you to understand what I don't understand. Is that
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
that's the goal. And then
Well,
hopefully if I can
okay.
get it, then the rest of our readers and listeners can get it too.
Yeah, and maybe I can even get it by processing it. Okay. I have been misled, and I'm going to make a bold statement, as I believe most of the Western world has been misled to believe that we only tap into 7% of our brain, and therefore only 7% of our brain is working. Well, I don't look at any longer as the brain being the mind, because there's too much in epigenetics and other scientific research and fields that prove that we our memories, for example, both emotional and intellectual, that are buried in the quote unconscious or subconscious or at a cellular level, meaning throughout the entire body makes up our mind, and that the brain, while being an important and an integral part of the mind, is more of an electrical switching station or a command post, if you would, for all the rest of that which is working in the mind, which is the entire body. Now, that makes up what I'm calling the personal subconscious, as opposed to the, quote, universal subconscious. In other words, all of it. And 100% of our brain, or our mind, excuse me, is working. But when we fail to get the distinction of personal as opposed to universal, and again, so universal, but personal, it means 100% of our mind, our personal mind, is working all the time. And, you know, 93% of it in that's stored in there is sometimes all the obstacles that keep us from interacting and hearing from or getting from the universal subconscious, which I'm going to say, okay, folks, a lot of you who want to call God and subconscious being what's the word, synonymous, well, okay, I'll go for that. But if I'm going to go for that, then I'm going to make this distinction again of that it's different. When I'm talking about the subconscious, I'm talking about what's made up in my mind throughout my body. I'm not talking about God or the universe or anything else. I see those as separate. And those, I think you tend to be of those who say, oh, well, that's duality. Now, I'm not sure you do, but that's what I mean. I mean that when I say I am, I don't mean to say I am God. I am saying I am by allowing the universal subconscious or the universe or God or spirit parent, whatever, and I know that hangs you up when I go through all those, but again, it's a part that, yes, I'm connected to, and that's why I can say I am right at this moment, because I'm zoning in and saying, okay, speak through me. And that's not my personal subconscious, that's the universal subconscious. Now, have I made any sense with that?
Well, I think that where a lot of times the confusion could arrive is that you're making it a spiritual issue, which I understand why. I mean, the name of our website is Spiritual Healing Source. But universal subconscious or universal consciousness is not necessarily a spiritual concept. The concept originally presented in wide term use by Carl Jung, psychiatrist, philosopher, whatever you want to call him. And he did a lot of work in that arena and published a lot of material around that and tapping in and using universal subconscious. So I don't think that you're stretching it. I think that you're maybe just some of the language choices, which is kind of funny because in the article you also talk about using language, and if you don't ask the right question, you get the wrong answer. So perhaps I'm asking the wrong question. You're articulating what this is quite well to me now, and I'm clear that the mind, what the mind's function is, and that I'm using the whole ball of wax as opposed to just a part of it. What I guess I'm really curious about is accessing universal subconscious. So we've been doing a lot of talking about that lately, and I'm wondering if you could just expand a little bit about how you access universal subconscious.
Boy, I go through a process, and I've shared it many times.
Does that mean?
Go ahead. What?
Well, I was going to ask if you. Well, for example, your mental board of directors. Your board of directors, is that universal subconscious?
No.
No. Okay.
That's part of my. They're connected with the universal subconscious. And I relate to them from the zone of me being connected to the universal subconscious.
Okay.
That's, I know, sounding abstract and esoteric to probably a lot of people. I don't think it is to you, but let's see if I can really get down and dirty with this. Okay. I often write that articles, like I just sent you one yesterday, I think it was, where I put what I was getting from spirit in the red, because it was what I was getting from spirit, and I know it didn't come out of my subconscious. My personal subconscious, again, to use that distinction. But how I get there often is crazy. And I don't, I tell people where I get it in some articles, but, you know, like I beat on my chest and say, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. Now, that's a habit, a carryover habit from my religious experience. And it has its biblical roots in something that Jesus was quoted by one of the writers as saying, and that was the prayer he said about these two guys that went up the temple, okay? And that the guy that said that got through to God, and the other guy, the religious guy who felt that he had it all together, wasn't getting through at all. In fact, he used the terms, and it's in the original language as well, that the sinner guy, the bad guy, got through with his humility of saying, help me, instead of the other one.
Okay, so those are your your standard tool.
One of them.
Okay, yeah,
that's one of the, that's the tool when I'm desperate. and what I mean by being a sinner at that moment, and that has to be cleared, has to do with my realizing that I can't get through. I'm just trying with the cognitive part of my mind. The 97% of my mind trying to figure out what I should be writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that doesn't work. That isn't going to help anybody, and it certainly doesn't help me. And I just realize I'm missing spirit at that moment. And there are several things, like just expressing gratitude sometimes that immediately get me right into the zone. Just being thankful to know that I'm in that, what I refer to as the bright cone of light that surrounds me, because that enables me to say I am when I'm surrounded. When I know, when I say I am, and I know it's egoistic BS, I know, whoops, I got to get in tune. And so then I gratitude or some other tools that I happen to use. You use some of these tools as well. So.
Some of them, yeah. I use your desperation tools. Yeah, I use. I also use some forgiveness if I find my mind is distracted with unpleasant thoughts or thoughts that would take me in a place to get away from that loving feeling that I think goes with what you call your universal consciousness. I use forgiveness as a tool to just forgive whatever the event is that's distracting my mind from quieting down and listening to universal consciousness. You know, it's funny, you know, we're trying to express this, and yet I think even finer, greater minds than us have a challenge to express it. I took the time to find out how Jung expressed it and Freud expressed it, and they're just as complex and convoluted as our conversation. It seems that we don't have good descriptive words to describe what we're talking about, to quiet the mind and listen carefully to things or words or images from a source outside of ourselves. And I just want to quote, before we wrap up, I want to quote what Freud calls it. He calls it archaic remnants, mental forms whose presence cannot be explained by anything in the individual's own life and which seem to be aboriginal, innate, and inherited shapes of the human mind. So that's his way of expressing what you're trying to say, and hopefully one of our listeners or audience can grab onto that phrase rather than the phrase that we're trying to use, and get connected.
And get connected.
No, I'm finished. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just received an email from two people just about an hour ago relating, they had asked, was copying another, and asking and saying that one, a person who had been healed, supposedly, by Brad Cullen, you know, from a very, very, I mean, we're talking close to death, muscular disease, MS, as a matter of fact, muscular dystrophy. And, I mean, totally healed. It's a woman. And she had been reading in her Bible in the Old Testament about the tree of life versus the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so went through quite a long question and saying, how did I respond to it? And I asked, how do I respond? And I got an amazing answer to me, and it had never hit me before. And so I gave it, and it was that the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she said it was the law, and I said the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is representing conscious mind, which is always coming to conclusions and judgments, whereas in the subconscious mind lies my hunger that is unconscious, but my hunger for God. Okay, and that, therefore, is the tree of life. And I sent that back. They both wrote to me just about a half hour ago. That came yesterday. They both wrote to me saying, holy mackerel, they'd never seen that before. What a wonderful way to express it. And it's both. It's both what she said earlier and this. And that's what I wrote back and saying, well, don't get hung up on what I got, because that's just a part of the truth. And I think this is what is the essence of what I want to say, is that what Freud said is not untrue. It's just a different part of the truth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's looking at the same thing from 2 degrees different than you are.
Yeah, period.
Yeah. So, it depends on how the light shines on it. It'll cast a shadow a different way based on the position you're standing in. And so the different forms of expression are merely that, and I agree with you totally. So thanks for helping me unravel the paragraph, or at least what I thought was the critical element of your article, and hopefully our readers and audience will get more out of it.
Well, I got to tell you, I had fun. So, and this is from the bottom of my heart, or as I joyfully say at times, from my very bottom, Ryan, I thank you.
My pleasure. The pleasure was definitely all mine. Thanks, Brad, and I'll talk to you again.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate you.